theology to undergraduates at Loyola University in Maryland, Baltimore, just up the road. And each semester, my bread and butter course was called Introduction to Theology, required of all students. You can imagine the joy that they had. If I could have subtitled my version of the course, it would have been something like 14 weeks of annoying questions with Mr. O'Brien. And early in the semester, I would ask a few of the more annoying questions that I have in my repertoire. We'd be talking, for instance, about the idea of mystery in theology. And as a way into that discussion, I asked the students to call to mind the person on this earth, living or deceased, that they loved the most, and who loved them back. Then the annoying questions would start. I would ask why they thought that person loved them, the reason why, and I would have crickets, even from the people who talked the most. And then I'd ask how they could be sure that the person loved them, and then it was even more silent. And by now I was looking at a room full of scowls, more even than usual. Obligatory theology courses was one thing, but calling into question the love of a parent, a grandparent, or a friend, well, that was a bridge too far, right? But the point I was trying to make then and now is that there are realities in our lives so central that they touch the very core of our being and which we can never fully understand or explain. We know them to be true in our bones, and we can even experience their truth, but we can't prove them beyond all doubt. That is part of what a mystery is in the religious sense, not so much a puzzle to be solved, but a reality that even our powerful minds cannot fully comprehend. Love is foremost among these, that reality that makes us into the people that we are. Today we celebrate the solemnity of the Most Holy Trinity, and probably no day of the liturgical year is more dreaded by preachers than this one, even at a place named Holy Trinity. It's one of the only major Christian feasts that focuses on an idea rather than a person or an event. Moreover, the Trinity is the central Christian mystery. God is one, but also three persons. Historically, the Trinity has been presented in the most abstract of terms, or the most domesticated, right? So we have a three-leaf clover on one hand, or three forms of water, or we have abstract processions and emanations and things like that. Both, actually, I think are problematic. To take just one example, most of you know that in the main church, over the center doors, we have a stained glass window, and it's a circular representation of the triangular relationship between the three different persons of the Trinity, how they can be three and remain one. If you haven't ever noticed it, have a look. You can even see it from the outside during the renovations. Now, these diagrams and these things like that are true as far as they go, but they don't go far enough. The trouble with it, and with much of the preaching and theology about the Trinity, is that very quickly it presents God as a kind of closed party, one to which you and I are not invited. A table for three where the diners are only really concerned about each other. And consequently, no feast of the liturgical year can seem as esoteric and even irrelevant as Trinity Sunday. And that is wrong. It is wrong because the relationships between Creator, Son, and Spirit are only part of the story. Because what they are as one God is an explosion of love. An explosion of love. Love shared between them, yes, which is what that diagram wants to point us to. But also an explosion of love outward. Always outward. It cannot be contained, their love. That is what we believe, that God is always coming toward us in love. Think about it. Coming toward us in the creative love of the Father. Coming toward us in the Son, who loved us enough to come among us and walk with us and for us. Coming toward us in the love and inspiration and guidance of the Holy Spirit. We will never exhaust the depths of this mystery here below. because it's none other than the mystery of God's very nature. But we know that love, and we can experience it. It makes us who we are as individuals, and it makes us who we are as church. And nothing could be more relevant than that. It's fitting that the first prayer any Catholic learns is not the Our Father, but the Hail Mary, or the Glory Be. It's the sign of the cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. It's how we begin and end every prayer. And it is the most complete expression of what we believe, that the love of this God, this relational God, encompasses and conquers everything, our weakness as well as our strength, our virtue as well as our vice, our life, and in the end, even our death. God's love wins, and that is the point of everything. We mark ourselves with that sign of the Trinity to remember that fact. We mark ourselves with that sign to remember how we are loved and have been loved, and how we are called to love, by going outward, always going outward.